You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Wednesday, June 4th.
Tongue Point Job Corps Center in Astoria is set to close at the end of the month as the Trump administration looks to eliminate the job training programs for low-income youth nationwide. But some impacts of the closure could start hitting the Astoria community as early as this Friday. Katie Frankowitz reports.
20 students and 18 staff members and their families face the possibility of losing their housing as Tongue Point begins to transition toward an overall closure. City and county leaders are scrambling to respond. Elected officials say they have contacted legislators and federal representatives to put pressure on the Trump administration to keep Tongue Point open. But the Astoria City Council also plans to hold a community meeting at 6 p.m. tonight at City Hall to discuss the issues facing Tongue Point and to look at ways the community might be able to help. Housing will be at the forefront. Emily Lawhead, a spokesperson for Management and Training Corporation, the contractor that oversees Tongue Point, says they're working closely with city, state, and federal officials. They are also working with students and staff to develop plans to find employment, other training programs, housing, and transportation. If you want to operate a vacation rental in Astoria, you'll have to get a license. This week, the Astoria City Council voted 4-1 to approve the creation of a vacation rental license program and to cap the number of rentals allowed at 50. Astoria currently has 43 vacation rentals. Councilors Andy Davis, Andrea Mazzarella, Elizabeth Adams, and Vance Lump voted in favor of the ordinance. They see it as a way to regulate a key business and preserve Astoria's stock of long-term housing. Critics told the Astoria City Council they worried about impacts to their businesses. They said vacation rentals help ease the financial burden of restoring and maintaining historic buildings. Mayor Sean Fitzpatrick voted against the ordinance, supporting calls from vacation rental operators to table it. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
The U.S. Supreme Court will hear one aspect of a case out of Illinois this fall that may affect how residents vote in Washington state. As Spokane Public Radio's Owen Henderson reports, U.S. Representative Mike Bost is suing his own state's Board of Elections.
Bost contends that under the laws creating an election day, Illinois should not be able to count the mail-in ballots that arrive after voting ends. Washington state currently allows ballots to be counted until the day before elections are certified, which can be up to 20 days after a general election.
If we're not allowed to accept or process ballots after election day, it puts the burden on the voter to outguess the delivery system that they're going to use.
Vicki Dalton is the Spokane County Auditor.
They're going to have to vote probably much, much earlier and then put their ballot into the delivery system and hope that it arrives at the designated time.
The Supreme Court for now is only hearing arguments about whether Bost has the standing to sue. If the court finds that he does, the representative's lawsuit challenging vote tabulation will likely return to lower federal courts. I'm Owen Henderson reporting.
Oregon and Washington are expected to have a bad wildfire season due to high temperatures and drought. OPB's April Ehrlich has more.
During a visit to Portland, U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley convened a briefing among federal and local fire agencies to hear what's in store. Local fire officials told the Oregon Democrat that wildfire forecasts are not looking good. But there was a glimmer of hope. Federal supervisors said they've been able to fill most of their firefighter positions. Merkley was heartened by the news.
But we still have a lot of concerns about the management side and the support side for those firefighters.
That's because federal fire agencies are still short on non-fire staff who are certified to fight wildland fires. These biologists, park rangers, and other workers often help on major disasters. Oregon fire officials said they are keeping an eye on how those federal shortages could impact statewide firefighting. I'm April Ehrlich reporting.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported in May that across the United States, estimated overdose deaths fell by about 27% last year. The state of Washington also saw a decline, but this data may not be as hopeful as it seems. Mitch Borden reports.
Across the state, communities saw a substantial drop in people dying from overdoses. For example, in King County, 1,043 people were confirmed to have died from an overdose in 2024. That's almost 300 less deaths than the year before. Caleb Bantagreen, who studies drug addiction at the University of Washington, says even though fewer people are dying, this data may have tragic implications. According to him, since so many people have died from opioid overdoses in recent years, these numbers were bound to go down.
At some point, you have to peak and start coming back down. And you're coming back down because so many people have already died. So we're still at an astronomically high level of overdose deaths.
Bantagreen says treatments for opioid use disorder are improving, and access to medicines like naloxone and methadone are helping to prevent overdoses. I'm Mitch Borden reporting.
A bill that would add electric wheelchairs and other ambulatory devices to Oregon's Right to Repair law is awaiting the governor's signature. KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports that a person at the heart of the bill is an Oregon State University student.
Ren Grabham is studying mechanical engineering, and she began pushing for SB 550 so she can get her hands on the tools, manuals, and parts she would need to fix her own wheelchair.
I've had to wait. It was between like 6 and 9 months to get a motor fixed. I know people who've been waiting years to get some things replaced just because, you know, they have to wait for someone to be able to come out to their house because there's only a few shops in the entire state.
She says being able to make fixes herself would allow her to avoid long waits as repair shops diagnose the problem, try to get insurance to cover the costs, and make the repairs. The Right to Repair law currently doesn't cover medical devices. It applies only to most consumer electronics, like cell phones and computers. I'm Zach Ziegler reporting.
Last week, members of the Salmonberry Trail Intergovernmental Agency approved a draft Memorandum of Understanding for rolling the agency into the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, a move that was agreed upon back in March. The move comes as the trail agency's founding agreement is set to expire at the end of September. The ongoing Salmonberry Trail project aims to restore an 82-mile multi-use path connecting Banks, Oregon, to the coast along the Salmonberry River. Storms cut off the historic route in 2007. The Salmonberry Trail Intergovernmental Agency was founded in 2015. It consists of representatives from Tillamook and Washington counties, the Oregon Department of Forestry, the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and the Port of Tillamook Bay. The Memorandum of Understanding will next be reviewed by the various governing bodies. A charter for the committee and other agreements are still being developed. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Razor clam harvesting is now open along most of the Oregon coast, from the Washington border south to Cape Blanco. The Oregon Department of Agriculture and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife announced the opening yesterday, as levels of domoic acid have fallen below the state's closure threshold. Razor clam harvesting remains closed from Cape Blanco south to the California border. Harvesting of mussels, bay clams, and crab is open along the entire Oregon coast. State officials will continue to test for shellfish toxins weekly. For more information, you can go online at oregon.gov/ODA. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, expect a mostly cloudy day with highs near 60. Tonight, mostly cloudy still, with lows around 50.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. To read more of our reporting and see what our news partners are covering, go to kmun.org/news. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.